As most of you know, we were away last week in a meeting in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Kenneth and Sammy Hoyle and others send their greeting to the church here. Many of you know Brother and Sister Hoyle as faithful and longtime servants of the Lord, and they speak so well and so highly of this church and so many of you. And so it was really a great blessing and a great privilege to be there. We had one restored in the meeting, and we broke their attendance record twice. Had 52 last Sunday morning and then 59 on Friday night. And for them, that was a record of attendance, and I hope that that church will continue to grow. It's got a lot of great young people, people converted out of the world, out of Catholicism. And so we hope that the future is bright for that work, and we know it is as long as Kenneth and Sammy are there. They're doing an outstanding work, and they send their greeting. I heard so many good comments and compliments about our elders and about different ones of you, different members here. And I found out that Sister Bell is Virgie Fay. Now, that's how far back it went. I don't know if there's a story there, but at any rate, they just talked about Virgie Fay, and I had no idea in the world who Virgie Fay was. I knew Sister Bell, but then I found out it was the same person. But at any rate, it's just so good to be able to be back and be home with you. And then another trembling thought. My topic today is a topic. Well, you can see what the topic is as we switch it on. Those that God calls fools. 29 years ago at this very moment at 11 o'clock, between 11 and 11:20, Marilyn and I were getting married. And then I'm speaking on those God calls fools today. I don't know if there's any connection, but I'm just happy to be able to be here and to address you. And concerning this biblical theme, some people that God calls fools. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, just understand this, that it is possible for God to recognize you as a fool. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 15, right above, the book of God says in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Look at verse 15. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but he says, as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now it is possible that we might walk as a fool. That's what the Bible says. In Galatians 3 and verse 1, the Lord said, O foolish Galatians. And so a church may be a foolish church. And there are some that God calls fools. This morning we're going to take a look at some that God says are fools. Now, to some of you, some of the things will not be of any offense whatsoever. You will say, well, I'm certainly not a fool in the first sense, when God says in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, that will not, probably, that won't hurt any of your feelings. You will not think for a moment that that is an offensive passage. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. As a matter of fact, the book of God says it twice. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, God says the reason for that is that a man is without excuse for his unbelief. For the invisible things of him, the invisible components or aspects of God, even his eternal power and godhood, his deity, his godness, if you will, that man is without excuse for his unbelief. The atheist is without excuse. Look at this marvelous world around about us. Who taught the beaver how to build the dam? Who gave the beaver the teeth? The Lord didn't give him, or evolution didn't give him a chainsaw. Who gave him the teeth? And if evolution did it, what did beavers do until the teeth developed? And then how did they learn to dam up the stream? And how did the spider build the web? And if he couldn't build the web, how did he catch any bugs until he learned how to build the web? Or to develop the system of making a web, making it with its tensile strength, making it with its power. Who gave that knowledge? And why didn't spiders die out Why didn't they fade away when in all the process of time they had to learn how to make a web to catch a bug to get something to eat? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Think about the woodpecker. Now, you know, if you go up on a telephone pole, most birds can't just go up to a telephone pole, you know, and get on that perpendicular. They got to get on top of it. But the woodpecker doesn't. He goes to a tree. He can light right on the trunk of that tree. Now, who taught the woodpecker to do that? Now, you know, the woodpecker has the feathers at the back of it that help it in its posture. The strong feathers that are just fitted so that when he lands on that tree, those feathers are back there as a base, as a support. How did the woodpecker stay on that tree until he developed those feathers? Imagine the first woodpecker, he doesn't have the right feet. If he'd had a duck's feet, how would he ever stuck on that tree? And then the first woodpecker that tried it without any feathers to hold him and prop him up, he tries, he doesn't have the right feet and doesn't have the tail feathers to balance him back there. He lands on that thing, he goes right to the ground. Woodpeckers would have died out. And then, how did a woodpecker know? You know, he rat-tat-tat-tat-tat, he asked the people down at NASA. The woodpecker will get in there and he will knock, 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 and he'll get those bugs that are beneath the bark. Question, please. Who told the woodpecker there was these little buggies running up and down underneath that bark? Who told him there was food there? And then who gave him the tongue? He's got a special tongue. Did you know that? And it's got a little barb at the end of his tongue, and it's got a sticky glue-like secretion. And so when he bangs his head... Oh, by the way, who put the cushion? Did you know he has a special cushion back of his neck, a suspension to cushion the blow batting into that tree? Imagine the first woodpecker. Let's suppose finally he got the tail feathers and he got the feet and he can stick up there and he starts banging his head and he gets Excedrin headache number 789. I mean, he'd have a headache that Anderson couldn't cure until that cushion developed. And who gave him that tongue? Who told him that bug was in there? My friend, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Indeed it is so. Think about the food chain. Isn't it amazing that there are wolves, and wolves have something to eat? There are bunny rabbits. They have something to eat. The fox has something to eat. The chicken has something to eat. The spider has something to eat. The fish have something to eat. The killer whales have something to eat. The sea otter has something to eat. I mean, in all the food chain of nature, how did it all get there? This is gruesome and awful. The dung beetle over in Africa. There's a certain dung beetle over in Africa that only lives and can only subsist where there are elephants. And it tunnels in the ground and it takes the manure of the elephant, and it takes it underground. And there, that protein and all of that richness of the nutrients and the nourishment of the fertile manure is the home which feeds the little baby beetles. Now, how was it if the beetle would have evolved without the elephant having yet evolved? And then it is the taking of that manure under the ground, taking it, they roll it, they take it underground, their little tunnels, and they feed in it, and by the way, once they're done with it, then that manure is underground and it fertilizes the ground to grow the grasses and to grow the rich nourishment that the elephant can eat. Who designed that? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Who designed that? Who created that? And imagine if a dung beetle had evolved without there being any elephants. Couldn't have survived. Just could not have survived. You know somebody else that's a fool? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:9, the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14 and verse 9. They consider it a sport to make a mock at sin. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23, you see that The book of God says, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. That is, to make fun of it. Now today, we've seen comedians, Foster Brook, for example, and Dean Martin earlier, to make a career out of playing a drunk. Now perhaps we've all, as a joke at one time or another, have made fun of a drunk and of his slurred language and of his stumbling gait. And we've made fun of that, and maybe in a lighthearted fashion. But my friend, the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. And there are those that count it pleasure, 2 Peter 2:13, to riot in the daytime. One of the things that will leave us with this disposition is television today and movies today, where that we make a mockery of sin, and where that relationships, physical relationships, are just as casual as meeting somebody and going out on a date. There is sexuality, and there are sexual relationships that are engaged in just kind of as on a whim. Like you might meet some girl and get introduced to her and go out and play miniature golf, then they end up in the bed. And it's taken as kind of a ho-hum. Well, that's the way it is. It's just a casual affair. Well, the movies and television make a mock at sin. It's just like you might meet somebody at school and go out and get a bite to eat. Well, it's just as casual in the movies and in television today that the couple meets and then they just, well, they end up in bed, but he's not good for me, and so we ended our relationship. Without one moral compunction, without any conscience whatsoever, well, the Bible says fools make a mock at sin. That's what's done today. You take the beer, the alcohol commercials. They're making a mock at sin. And so we have some of our most famous, most well-known things are Budweiser commercials with a frog. Now, my friends, let me tell you, it is just such lunacy that makes a mock at sin and causes people to laugh at that which is serious, at that which is deadly. We must not identify ourselves with such. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And folks, let me tell you, there are those that mock sin. They'll talk about their wild escapades and their wild parties. And you know, these young people, Monday morning, when they would get to school, they would hear the drunks, and they would hear those that were bragging about their sexual exploits. And on the job, it has been a case in the plant, in the factory, where that men would laugh and talk and joke and brag and boast about their hangovers and about their conquest. My friend, it is making a mock at sin. The Bible says those that do so are fools. Well, what is that fool? Well, the Bible says that a person that does so is a fool, and a fool is one lacking mental sanity. A fool is one that lacks moral sobriety. He has a reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind. That's what a fool is. Somebody that'll drive down a crooked highway at 75 miles an hour. Foolish, reckless, careless. That's a fool. The Bible says those that make a mock at sin are fools. Thirdly, there's another cast of characters that are fools. And that is those children. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. Those children that disobey a father's instruction. The Bible says a fool despiseth his father's instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now who is a fool? An unruly child is a fool. Children are taught in the Word of God to obey their parents. But the Book of God says the unruly child, the disobedient child, is the fool. Now, I know the real paradox and the real place that a young person is in. I can identify with you, but whether or not I could wouldn't change a thing in the world. You see, as we grow up, we reach this tantalizing stage. We're old enough now to drive an automobile. We're old enough to have a job, old enough to pay some taxes, old enough to be on our own, but not old enough to make all of our own moral decisions. But we don't recognize that. And so part of our rebellion is that nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody. Now, a person who is old enough to ride a bicycle, you that are 16 years old, you that are young enough and you have the driver's permit, you say, well, if I'm old enough to drive and if I'm old enough to get a job at McDonald's, then I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Well, suppose a six-year-old said, I'm old enough to get a bicycle, I'm old enough to be out on the highway at 8 years old, riding my bike out on a highway, I'm old enough to drive. Does that follow? You recognize it doesn't, don't you? You recognize it doesn't follow. Well, the same thing is true with larger decisions in a larger realm when you're 16 years old. An eight-year-old can't say, I've been riding a bike since I was five. I've now been allowed out on the road on my bicycle for a year now, and I've been allowed to ride off the end of the driveway or down the road, down the street, and so therefore, I think I ought to be able to drive a car. Is that? No, that doesn't follow. Our oldest boy, Sean, particularly headstrong, and this is the way God has designed it, that children break away. And they want to be on their own. And I remember a case when he was 2 years old. And, you know, we'd always hand him his food, you know. You'd set him in the high chair and you'd hand him their food or put him at the table. And you hear, you know, here's this and here's your little piece of bread, honey. And here, you know, you dip him out some mashed potatoes. Well, he wanted some bread, and so Marilyn reached to get me and he said, He didn't want her to get the bread. He wanted to get his piece of bread. And so I said, okay. I said, okay. And so nothing would do for him to reach in and get his bread. So he reached in the sack. He grabbed, pulled it out. A hard, thick crust heel he picked out. He didn't have the wisdom, the judgment, the discernment to know. Physically, was he old enough and able at age 2 to reach into a bread sack and get a piece of bread? Was he capable? Sure, he was capable. And I said, now, son, this is not getting you. He took a bite. You know, that's daddy's piece, you know. That's what dad will eat. So the kids don't. But he wasn't old enough to make that decision. Now you may have the physical skills. You may have the ability to make a decision. Yes, I can reach in there and get the bread, but you don't have the knowledge. Well, I know you're not 2 years old, but the same thing is true in other areas. There are decisions that you want to make that you're not qualified to make. And the fact that you can make some decisions doesn't mean that you're able to make all the decisions. He's old enough to know if he wanted some bread. He was physically old enough to reach in the bag and get it, but he wasn't old enough to discern. Same thing. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish, is beastly. If you hate instruction and reproof, the Bible says you are a fool. Young people, listen. You say, well, I know an atheist is a fool. I know a guy that's an atheist is a fool. Well, let me tell you, if you are an unruly child, you're a fool. But next, somebody else the Bible calls a fool. In Proverbs 20 and verse 3, the book of God says it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Every fool will be meddling. Sometimes elders and preachers are accused of meddling. They're accused of being nosy and of being busybodies, man. Some preachers are nosy, and some preachers are gossips, and some are busybodies, and maybe that is true also of some elders, but their work is of a different scope. But the person who is a meddler in other men's matters where he does not belong, the Bible says, is a fool. Now, if you're one of those persons that just has to know everything about everybody else's business and then talk about it to everybody else, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you, ma'am, you, sir, are a fool. Oh, you say, now I know that a person that's an atheist, I know the atheist is a fool. Well, did you know that if you're a meddler and a busybody in other men's matters, if you are nosy, and if you're always prying into what are they up to, and did he get arrested, and have you heard? Did they have a fight? If you're one of those people, my friend, the Bible says you're a fool. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. And here's something that's intriguing, and I want you to notice the companions in this verse. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. Peter says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. Now the word evildoer is a very strong word for somebody that is mean or guilty of very much evil and of malicious and malignant type behavior. So it's a very strong word. But what's a murderer and a thief? He said, don't let anybody suffer. You know, if you commit murder and thievery, and if you do evil, you're going to suffer. But notice the last part and portion of the passage. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, listen, or as a busybody in other men's matters. And by the way, you know what this tells me? That if you're a meddler, you're going to suffer. You will suffer. You'll suffer the scorn and the reproach of other people. And did you know something? That if you're a person, listen to me, if you're a person that is tacky enough to be inquisitive and to phone and to probe and to pry and ask blunt questions that are none of your business, if you do that, did you know you will be shut out from such information? Who do we rely on when we're in trouble? People that are of men of confidence. People that are men of quiet confidence. It is to those that are private, that are quiet, people that you can turn to in a crisis and pour out your heart and know it won't be all over the neighborhood by the next day. But the gossip and the busybody you never turn to for help. The meddler is cut off. And the Bible says, if you're a meddler, if you're a nosy, gossiping, busybody in other men's matters, the Bible says you are a fool. Don't be guilty of that. Don't be guilty of that. The Bible tells us that our duty is to do our own work and to mind our own business. That is our duty. Do our own work and to do our own business and not try to run the affairs of others. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, the apostle has said that we ought to increase in our love one toward another, and that you study, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That passage says, mind your own business. Mind your own business. Tend to your own affairs. You let somebody go down to a police station, be seen coming out, and think, uh-oh, what did he do? What kind of ticket did he get? It starts in the youth. You see one of your friends come out of a principal's office. Uh-oh. What happened? What'd you do? You're going to have to go to detention hall? What'd you do? What happened? Gossip. Busybody. Bible says you're a fool if you do that. Next, the Bible says somebody else a fool. The Bible says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, Ecclesiastes 7:9, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Now remember what our definition of a fool was? The definition of a fool is one that lacks mental sanity and moral sobriety, a reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind. Now that's what anger will do to you. Anger will make you reckless. Anger will make you act without thinking. Anger will make you act without being sober and reflective. Anger will cause you to strike when you should sit back and contemplate and think. But when you're angry, you lash out. You jump out in haste. And the Bible says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Why? For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Now, in James chapter 1, we learn that anger does not work the righteousness of God. We're to put off anger, James chapter 1. We're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For, James 1 says, anger, wrath, worketh not the righteousness of God. God's will is not worked when men are angry. And then in Proverbs 29 and verse 22, if you're an angry individual, an angry man stirreth up strife, listen, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. What happens when a man gets angry? When a man maybe is drinking or maybe not even under the influence of alcohol, but when he is stirred to anger, to an outburst of wrath. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirreth up strife. You can be angry, and when there is no contention, because you're angry, pretty soon there's a fuss. An angry man, Proverbs 29:22. Aboundeth in transgression. He's going to say evil. He's going to do evil. He's going to engage in a number of sins. That's why the Bible says that anger resteth or resideth in the bosom of fools. You've heard the old adage, you get angry, count to ten. What's the reason for that? For you to get a hold of yourself. For you to get a hold of yourself. To think. That's what you don't do when you're angry. Now, let me tell you that in a congregation, as well as a man at work or in any element of society, you know what one of our dangers is? Now listen, you may think this strange, but listen to me. Some people stay angry all of the time. But look at the text. You say, well, I don't believe that. Now, Larry, I don't believe that because I get mad, but then I'm not angry all the time. I've settled down. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Look at me now. I'm not mad. Look at the text. What does it say in Ecclesiastes 7:9? Anger does what? Anger rests in the bosom of fools. It stays there. One of the dangers is that you become a person who has anger bubbling all the time beneath the surface. That anger is always there. That it follows you around like your shadow. Anger does. Now, husbands, listen. Mothers, wives, fathers, listen. If you're not careful, workers, employees, employers, listen to me. If you're not careful, anger can develop just like a second layer of skin and be always there on the surface. The old chip on the shoulder thing, you know, a chip can't stay on your shoulder. You say somebody get mad at, you know, got a chip on their shoulder and, you know, you knock it off and they're angry right away. Well, a chip, the idea is it doesn't stay there long. It falls off. People get angry. Well, now if you're not careful, listen to me. Homemaker, boss, worker, student, be careful, Mom. Anger can get a hold of you and be just right there and in your throat. It can become a part of your persona. Be careful. Be careful. Because it can develop to where it is almost a second nature. It is a reaction. Get cut off in traffic, boom, mad. Disappointed in the meal, ah. Somebody doesn't do you right, ah. Anger. You know what the Bible says? God calls such people fools. The angry are fools. Careful. Watch yourself. Guard yourself. See, I told you that in this sermon this morning that there'd be times I wouldn't be talking about you. I don't suppose I'm talking to very many atheists this morning. But I wonder how many of us see ourselves, at least in part, in some of these areas. Let's continue. The dishonest. The dishonest, the Bible says, are fools. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 11, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. You get the riches, all right. But you don't get them by doing right. Now, the Bible teaches that the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The Bible does not condemn riches. It condemns the attitude towards them. But here the book of God says that the dishonest man is a man that at his end will be a fool. Now, what that says is when you get riches, by hook or by crook, you get riches, you'll be honored, you'll be esteemed, you'll be accepted. You know, it's always been strange to me. Who is it that gets the free pass? Who is it that gets the free ticket? Who is it that gets the free meal? It's the wealthy. The man that can afford it. If Michael Jordan comes to town, no need to pay. Mr. Jordan's on the house. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not... A man gets to that position, he's earned that. That's what people want to do. That's their prerogative. I'm not condemning that. Don't get me wrong. But here's my point. The man that gets wealth, whether by good or ill means, the man that gets wealth is honored. You get wealth, you'll be honored. Here, take mine. Here, Eat here. Here, no problem. It's on me. Your money's no good in this town. And the Bible recognizes that's what'll happen. You'll be honored. But look at Jeremiah 17:11, the last two lines. The man that gets riches and not by right is going to leave. And look at the last. And at his end shall be a fool. At the end, you'll be a fool. Now, it won't seem like it when you get your riches. You say, oh, I'm being honored. Oh, I've gotten this wealth and I'm being well served. I'm admired. I'm esteemed. Money has brought me acceptance. And so it will. So it will for a time. But at the end, the Bible says you'll be a fool. Connected with this, next, in Luke 12. We've talked about the rich man of Luke 12. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, verse 15. For man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. Well, is it a sin to do that? I mean, if we had a big ranch out here, and we had so much corn and so much cotton, or we had so much of whatever you might raise, that the silos weren't big enough to hold all of it, all the soybeans or whatever you're growing, if your silos aren't big enough, if your cotton storage is not big enough, what should you do? Build bigger ones, right? Is anything wrong with that? Not a thing in the world. But what was this man's problem? He said, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But look at verse 20. But God said unto him, who's the Bible call a fool? Luke 15, or Luke 12, about verse 20. God said unto him, thou fool. Who's the fool? The covetous man that thinks not of his soul. Greedy, gimme, all the time. Gimme, I'm greedy. I'm greedy, gimme. That's the idea. What did the Lord say to that man? Thou fool. A covetous man is a fool. He doesn't stop to think about his soul. You're not going to live forever. I remember when I couldn't believe I was 29 years old. And now I've been married 29 years. Meryl and I were talking about that on the way to church. That's scary. I mean, to think you've been married as long as you used to think was old. She was 18 when we married. And when she turned 29, we thought, oh, the poor child's taking a turn for the worse. She'll soon be the big 3-0. We thought it was the end of the world. But now, soon be married, the big 3-0 is 29 today. I mean, whew. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, you don't stop and think about your soul in the process of getting things in this life, you're a fool. Further, another person who is a fool, Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Listen to me. Did you ever hear anybody say, well, you know, there's one thing about it. If I got something to say, I'll say it. I've heard people brag about that. I really have. You have too. Next time somebody said, well, you know, there's one thing about me. If I got something to say, I say it. Quote them Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind. Well, if I got something on my mind, I just say it. I just spit it out. Well, I guess in different contexts, maybe some of us, maybe myself, maybe I've bragged on that before. One thing about me, buddy, if you want to know what I think, I just tell you. You know what the Bible says about Larry Haefeli when he says that? The Bible says Larry Haefeli is a fool, for in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, what's on his mind, what is thinking, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. Look at verse 20. 29:20 of Proverbs. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? You see a man that's always running off at the lip? There is more hope of a fool than of him. More hope of a fool than of that man. You'd better rely on a fool before you rely on a man that is hasty in his speech. Think about that. The Bible says if you're a big mouth, you're a fool. You know, I told you in this lesson this morning, some of the things wouldn't apply to you. None of us probably are atheists. I don't know about you, but some of these points right here have hit close to home for me. Have they hit pretty close to home for any of you? Finally and last of all, in Galatians 3 and verse 1, the Lord said to the church at Galatia, O foolish Galatians. O foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Who is it, he says, that has deceived you, that you should not obey the truth? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the disobedient are foolish. Those that are foolish are fools. These are people, my friends, that God calls fools. The atheists, those that make a mock at sin, those that despise the Father's instruction, those that meddle in other people's business, the angry, the dishonest, the covetous, the big mouth, always talking, the disobedient are fools. Now, don't go away from here today and say, well, you preached and plowed mighty close to the corn in my life, and so I'm mad at you, Larry. I didn't call you a fool. God calls you a fool if you do these things. I've not called you a fool. God did. And by the way, these things include Larry. Larry is a fool when he's guilty. So I could be just as upset at me as you might want to be. And brethren, I say these things to help you. And if there's somebody here this morning that needs to obey the gospel, and there's somebody here that's been disobedient, been unfaithful to the Lord, been laying out, been disobedient to Him, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you're a fool. But you can be a wise man if you'll repent this morning. Would you be baptized into Christ this hour? Would you repent right now? Would you turn around and leave your foolish ways and obey the truth while you're in your indifference and your apathy, while you're in your life of disobedience? Did you know you're a fool? You're a fool, like the atheist. You're a fool if you remain disobedient. Why don't you be a wise man this morning, a wise woman this morning? Why don't you obey the truth, and why don't you do it right now while we stand and sing?
One day you'll stand at the bar on high.